بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 3rd of May in the year 2021 And Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 21st blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan So we've entered the last third in which in a report it mentions that it secures freedom from the fire. So we ask Allah the Almighty and Glorious to be amongst those whom He graciously forgives by His great kindness and mercy. Ameen. And we've moved on to verse 71 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 74. So verse 71. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم All you who believe, take your precautions and either go forth in parties or go forth altogether. So here is a few reports. The first in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he recited this portion. فَنْفِرُ الثُّبَاتِ Go forth in parties, he explains, in groups, expedition after expedition. Then he recited, Awinfiru jami'a, or go forth all together means all of you. So here, the authorities mention that when going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can either go in smaller groups or go forth all together. Both are fine. But Ibn Abbas went on to explain something very important about this holy verse. So this is recorded in Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 47, and Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 185-7 of the New English Translation. So the great Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he recited three verses. First he recited this verse, verse 71. Then he recited Surah 9, verse 41, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله Proceed in the path of Allah whether light or heavy. And the third verse he recited, Surah 9 verse 39, إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا عليما If you do not go forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall punish you severely. So stop in the report. So the great Ibn Abbas, he's mentioned three different verses of the Qur'an, all talking about jihad. He quotes this verse, verse 71, where it mentions going groups or all together. He quotes a second verse, which mentions go whether you are light or heavy. And he quotes a third verse that if you don't go, you will be punished severely. But then he explained, these three verses were abrogated when Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed, and he recited Surah 9, verse 122. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا قَافًا فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ To the end of the verse. It is not correct for the believers to proceed all together, i.e. simultaneously in the path of Allah. Then he explained, then was the practice that while a party of Muslims would march with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another party would remain behind. Those that remained behind with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would attain a deep understanding of the deen. So they may warn their people who had been engaged in jihad when they returned to them from the expeditions. In this manner, they were aware of what Allah the Almighty revealed in the Qur'an about their obligations and about the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. So putting it simply, if you look at these three verses without commentary, you may think that this is referring to the final command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But according to Ibn Abbas, these are abrogated. The final verse that was revealed was Surah 9 verse 122. And he mentions you don't all go together. Some stay behind. And then Ibn Abbas explained the wisdom of this final command. So those who go in jihad, they haven't got the opportunity to learn. Those who remain behind could learn the deen. So when the people who went out in jihad come back, they can learn what they've lost from those who acquired the knowledge. So this is what Ibn Abbas said was the final verse in the matter. Now what's interesting, both knowledge and jihad are brothers and sisters. There's a report recorded by Hafiz Zahbi in his Sir 17-524, where our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the nearest people to the rank of Nabuwat are the people of knowledge and the people of jihad. The people of knowledge because they guide people to what the prophets bring, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people of jihad defend it with their swords. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet explained himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that look at the maqam of the people of knowledge. He goes, they're just below Nabuwat. So the people of knowledge are the inheritors of the prophets. Ulama warithatul anbiya, the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They inherit from the prophets. The Prophet here said that they are closest to the rank of Nabuwat. Then what did he say? And the people of jihad. Then he explained, the people of knowledge, because they guide people to what the prophets bring. If I was to ask you, can you go direct to the Prophet? Which one can say yes? So where are you getting the knowledge from? You're going through the people of knowledge. That's why they've been given this maqam. And the people of jihad defend it with their swords. That's why they've been given this maqam. Why? But now what's interesting about the two? Does what to defend if guidance is lost? So the people of knowledge actually have a degree over the people of jihad. Why? Because the people of jihad are defending the legacy of the Prophet. But if the legacy is lost, there's nothing to defend. So here note, the Prophet was highlighting the status of both, i.e. the noble souls. So now if you look at one of the three verses that was abrogated, Surah 9 verse 41, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Infiru khifafu wa thiqala wa jahidu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah. Proceed whether you are light or heavy in the path of Allah with your property and yourselves. This is better for you if you but knew. So what does this mean? So there's a beautiful report in which Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he was one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talha, he was married to Sulaim, who was kind of the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was an old man, and he recited this very verse, Surah 9 verse 41, and look what he said. He goes, Subhanallah, our Lord is asking us to go out in jihad, whether we are young or whether we are old. He then piped, and he told his sons, I'm ready to go. And then the report goes on to mention, he went on the campaign of sea, and he was martyred during the campaign. This is recorded in Bayhaqi ibn Sa'd, Hakim states, Sahih, to the criteria of Muslim Abu Ya'la, Hayat al-Sahab. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala says, go whether you are light or you are heavy. Now what does that mean? Does it mean that he's talking about weight? So Abu Talha explained, no. Light means when you're young. Heavy means when you're old. Now think about that. And obviously when you're old, you are excused. But Abu Talha stayed away, the verse hit him. He goes, no, I have to go. Allah Ta'ala is telling me to go. And look how beautiful. He died in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to this day, nobody knows where his blessed grave is. Because they didn't know where to bury him. And then they came to an island and they buried him there. The other verse, which was abrogated, Surah 9 verse 39. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you do not go forth, Allah ta'ala shall punish you severely. So what's interesting about this verse? Allah Ta'ala is telling you, if you don't go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be severely punished. There's a hadith. In Abu Dawud Bayhaqi Dulabi, and it's authentic, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you indulge in ina transactions and take hold of the tails of cows and become satisfied with cultivation and abandon jihad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover you with humiliation, which He will not remove until you return to your deen. Let's look at this. So in this authentic report, the Prophet warned the Muslims. He goes, if you get involved in tilling the land, right, meaning, and also Ina is a usurious transaction, don't worry about that, right? And you get focused on land, then look what he said, you will be humiliated. And then he didn't say, until you return to jihad, he didn't say that. He said, until you return to your deen. Now think about it, where in the Muslim world is this taking place? So are we being humiliated? Secondly, who's got the authority to sanction jihad? The authorities, but we haven't got authority. So you notice, it's all due to our disconnect with the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala never breaks His promise. And He goes, you will never be taken away from this humiliation until you return to your deen. Meaning you can get all the great thinkers together, you're still going to be humiliated. Allah Ta'ala's promise is, you'll only get this honor when you return to your deen. So when Allah Ta'ala says, unless you go forth, He will punish you severely, it's not just in the Akhirat. You'll be humiliated in this world, which is mentioned here in this verse clearly. And also there's a report in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad number 4868, and it's authentic in Irwa'ul Ghalil number 1269. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was sent with the sword just before the last hour, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is worshipped without partners. Verily my provision was made under the shadow of my spear, and humiliation and disgrace were placed to those who defy my matter. Verily he who imitates a people is one of them. So here our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was sent with the sword. And how many campaigns did he fight? Many. He launched campaigns and he himself participated in many. Why? He explained why. Not for land, not for prestige. He goes, so that Allah Ta'ala alone is worshipped. Meaning I'm only going onto the battlefield because all the other avenues have been exhausted. And these people are still refusing to go away from their unbelief. So he's fighting for them. This is very important to highlight. The Prophet wasn't he's fighting for them, to save them. Which war does that? We're fighting for you. We're fighting for the enemies. That's how pure jihad is. Which people fail to highlight. Astaghfirullah. Look at all the wars that have taken place in the history of the world. All for themselves. Land, property, this, that. Whenever you fought for your enemies. Rasulullah did. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said something very interesting. He did not kill a single person on the battlefield, except one. So even on the battlefield, he was making sure not to kill, because that would have destroyed the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of the worst types of people is the one killed by a prophet. So rahmatul alameen never did this. He fought, but he was making sure not to kill, except one, that ibn Taymiyyah. So look at the rahmah on the back. Why is that important to highlight? Because if you don't mention these facts and figures, people will start thinking, oh, you're bloodthirsty. You want to go out there, you're just bent upon killing people. We're not bent upon killing people. We're bent upon saving people. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, my rizq is under the shadow of my spear, meaning that the spoils that come from that is so pure, I live by it. Allah has given it to me. This is unique for the Prophet. The previous Prophets weren't allowed spoils of war. Rasulullah was allowed it because Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, he who imitates a people is one of them. The famous part of the hadith. So if you emulate a people, you are like them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And this is why it's important to have your own identity. At least have some sunnah, right? You know, you see a person, you walk in, once I was walking in Birmingham, and this person's walking past, I couldn't tell whether he was a Muslim. You know, he looked like he was an Asian. And I was thinking, should I give salam? He might be a Hindu. And he gave me salam. So, I guess, wa alaikum salam. Now, why was I in that predicament? Because there's no sign of a Muslim on him. I was scared if I give him salam, he might think, I'm a Hindu, right? So this is why it's important to have some cause. And also, Umar radiallahu anhu, he would go to the degree where he would say to the Sahaba, make sure that you don't pick up all the habits of the Persians. You need to have your own identity. So all of this is helping to explain this verse which we're going through, i.e. verse 71. Verse 72. There are certainly amongst you men who will tarry behind. If a misfortune befalls you, they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us in that we were not present amongst them. Verse 73. But if good fortune comes to you from Allah, they would be sure to say, as if there had been never ties of affection between you and them, ah, I wish I had been with them. A fine thing should I then have made of it. So what are these two verses referring to? So first there's a few narrations. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Muqatil ibn Hayyan rahmatullah alayh, sorry, Mujahid rahmatullah alayh, he recited this portion of verse 72. وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَتِّعَنْ. There are certainly amongst you men who would tarry behind. He explained. This was revealed about the munafiqs. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, there are certainly amongst you men who lag behind. According to Mujahid and many others, this is the munafiqs. They don't want to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muqatil said in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, لَيُبَتِّعَنَّ means to stay behind and not join jihad. And he added, it is also possible that this person himself lingers behind. It is also possible he is luring others away to do the same and refrain from jihad, as Ibn Jurayj and Ibn Jarir had said. So when the Quran says, there are certainly amongst you لَيُبَتِّعَنَّ, those who tarry behind, there's two meanings. First is they don't want to go. They make excuses. Munafiqs. The other is, not only are they not going, they are preventing others. They go, why are you going? You got family, you got children, who's going to look after them? Both of those meanings is what's being referred to here. They're ill. They don't want to go. Now then, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Look at this amazing passage. He then mentions something about these people. When you go in jihad, two things could happen. You're either martyred or you come back with spoils. Allah Ta'ala talks about both those scenarios here, but he's talking about the munafiqs. And what does he say in verse 72? If a misfortune befalls you, meaning that's what they think. They say, Allah Ta'ala favored us that we didn't go. So that's number one. Then what does he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 73. If good fortune comes to you, meaning you come back with spoils, they would be sure to say, now this is a critical bit of the verse, كَأَلَّمْ تَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ مَوَدَّةً, as if there had never been ties of affection between you and them. Ah, I wish I had been with them. A fine thing should I then have made of it. So what is Allah Ta'ala saying in these two verses? They don't go. They're lingering back. They're keeping people back. And they're waiting. If you come back safe and sound with wealth, they go, oh, we missed that. We could have got this treasure as well. And if you don't come back, they go, God saved us. Now, what can we take from this? The doubter detaches himself two ways, in thought and his action. So the one who's got disease, the munafiq or the one with disease, he's got two things that's problematic for him. He's got doubts, thought and action. If the general body has a reverse, he blesses Allah Ta'ala, he's not amongst them. Instead of being ashamed of himself for desertion. Now think about it. He doesn't go. They are martyred. How does a believer react? He feels ashamed. He goes, Ya Allah, I should have gone. I should have got martyred. But what does the munafiq say? Alhamdulillah. Look at the difference. So that's their thought. If the general body wins, he does not rejoice for the cause, but only regrets for himself he was not there to share the spoils. So when they come back, so what does the believer feel when they come back with spoils? He's happy for the Islam. He goes, Alhamdulillah, Allah's honored Islam. But the munafiq goes, oh. Right? So what's he thinking? He's completely different, Allah Ta'ala is telling you. His mindset is different. So here now, look at verse 73. What does Allah Ta'ala say in the middle of verse 73? If good fortune comes to you, that means that you come back with spoils. كأن لم تكن بينكم وبينه مودة. They would say, as if there had never been any ties of affection between you and them. What does this mean? You go back to what I've mentioned. They're talking as if they've got no relationship with you. What do they say? We could have made a killing. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, look at that. They're showing to you they're not connected with you. You've come back with spoils. They should be thinking, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given izzah to Islam. But the Quran says, they're acting as if they never had any affection with you. Because they're only thinking about the monetary loss. And that is the munafiq. He's always thinking about himself. He's not bothered about it. It's just me, myself. And look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala is talking about the subject of jihad. But he's talking about the illnesses of the people. He's exposing this. Such men are far from being the source of strength to their community. Now think about it. If these people went on jihad, would they really help you? Allah Ta'ala is telling you, they're better off not going. Just like in the Battle of Uhud. How many munafiqs broke off? You know, hundreds of them broke off with Abdullah ibn Ubay. Somebody goes, oh, we lost. No, we didn't lose out. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, this is what they're thinking. This is they're a burden upon you. It's good that they didn't come with you. Now, why is that important to highlight? Because in the Battle of Uhud, the believers lost. But were there any munafiqs on the battlefield of Uhud? None. Allah Ta'ala did that for a reason. Why? Because you would never speak ill of the people, the Sahaba on the battlefield of Uhud. The munafiqs broke off at the beginning. And what did the munafiqs say when they heard about the defeat? Just like the Quran says. Yes, we told them not to go. We're saved. And Allah Ta'ala is telling you, this is how they react. They're showing themselves there in their state. Astaghfirullah. And also, if you look at Surah 9 verse 50, Surah Toba, Surah 9 verse 52, if you look at just the translation, Allah Ta'ala gives you the details. What does he say? If good befalls you, it grieves them. But if a misfortune befalls you, they say, we took our precautions beforehand, and they turn away rejoicing. Verse 51. Nothing will happen to us, say to them, nothing will happen to us except what Allah Ta'ala has decreed. He is our protector. And let the believers put their trust in Allah. Verse 52. Tell them, can you expect for us anything other than one of the two glorious things? I, martyrdom or victory. So look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala is answering this thing. He's talking to the munafiqs. He goes, you took your precautions. You would have died anyway. They would have died anyway in their bed, but I've honored them that they've died on the battlefield. So think about this. How many great martyrs were martyred on the battlefields in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Many. Hamza radiyallahu anhu, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu, Hanzala ibn Rahib radiyallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Rabi radiyallahu anhu. You know, the list goes on. They would have all died in their beds. What does Shaitan put into your head? Oh, if only Hamza had lived, he wouldn't have lived longer. He would have died in his bed. Allah Ta'ala goes, I crowned his life off with martyrdom. That's our belief. But do we think like that? People, even Muslims, start saying, oh, it was a dark day, wasn't it? What was a dark day? When Hamza got martyred, that wasn't a dark day at all. Have you read the Quran? He crowned his life off with martyrdom. He couldn't have lived a second more. That's how we look at it. Munafiqs say, oh, we took our precautions. You're thinking like a munafiq. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you here, in these holy verses, this is never the case. And there's actually a hadith on this, but let me mention. In Ibn Abi Hatim Ruh al-Ma'ani, Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, the hypocrites who remained behind in Al-Madinah told the other people, Muhammad and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have subjected themselves to great difficulty. They have undertaken a most torturous journey and they will be destroyed. However, when they heard that the Muslims were returning safely, they were extremely upset. Upon which Allah Ta'ala revealed verse 50 of Surah Tawbah. This is talking about the book. So when Rasulullah set off, imagine in the middle of the summer, 30,000 of them set off. Munafiqs though, they're gone. They're going all that way in summer, 600 miles. They're going to go through the desert. he left their crops and property, and who were they going to be fighting? The Romans. He goes, the religion has deluded them. Then what happened? They came back. And Allah revealed this verse. If good befalls you, it grieves them. If misfortune befalls you, because we took our precautions. So look how Allah is talking about these wretches. But we need to be careful, because we don't end up with these traits that they have. A'udhu billah. Verse 74. Let those fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. For him who fights in the cause of Allah, whether he is slain or gets victory, soon shall we give him a reward of great value. So now, whether they win or lose, in reality they are winners. They are either martyred or they come back with the status of a mujahid. Subhanallah. So again, where's the proof of this? Surah 9 verse 111. So in Surah Tawbah, Surah 9 verse 111, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting about the mujahids. Translation. Allah ta'ala has purchased of the believers. He's bought from the believers. Top in the report. Nothing of it. We can't do a business transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah ta'ala we belong, and to him we return. What does Allah ta'ala say in this verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِعَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their persons and their wealth in return for paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allah ta'ala is telling you something there. He goes, I own everything. There's not a hair on your head I don't own. But I love the mujahid. Because if you do it, you've done a beautiful transaction. You've given back what belongs to me, but I'm going to give you paradise in return. Now look at the full verse. They fight in his cause, they kill and they are killed. A promise binding on him. In truth, look what he says. وَعَدًا عَلِيهِ حَقًا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. A promise binding on him in truth in the Torah, in the Injil and the Quran. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِأَحْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And who is more faithful to his promise than Allah. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْئِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَزِيمِ. Rejoice in the bargain you have made. That is the achievement supreme. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, and this is the only place Allah Ta'ala mentions an oath in all three books. If somebody goes, what's he mentioned in the Torah, the Injil and the Quran? He's promised that if you give your lives, I promise you paradise. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it here, and he said, I've mentioned it in the Torah, and I've made these promises. I never break my promise. And then he goes, rejoice, fastabshiru, in the bargain that you have made. When was this verse revealed? Just to finish. This verse was revealed when the Ansar pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah on the night of Aqaba. The Ansar said, Ya Rasulullah, stipulate whatever conditions you wish. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the condition with regards to my Lord is that you don't commit shirk, you don't ascribe partners to him. For myself, I make the condition that you protect me as you protect your lives and wealth. They said, what do we receive if we fulfill this, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, you will receive paradise. They go, Subhanallah, what an excellent bargain. We shall never cancel this transaction. And Allah the Almighty revealed this verse, Surah 9, verse 111. So it was about the Blessed Ansar that the verse was revealed, but it's generally applicable to all. So note here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same in verse 74. Let those fight in the cause of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. Look at the way he's describing it. يَشْرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ. Whether he is slain or gets victory, we shall give him an immense reward. Meaning, you cannot lose. And this is why, just to add this quickly, when the Sahaba were sent to deal with the Romans at Mu'tah, 3,000 Sahaba went, 200,000 Romans came to challenge them. So the Sahaba got together, did Mashura. The commander was Zayd ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu. The second in command was Ja'far ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu. The third was Abdullah ibn Rawah. Initially, the senior commanders thought we need to send a message back to Rasulullah because we weren't expecting this huge force. And they were thinking about this. The third in command, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, goes, Subhanallah. He goes, send a message back. Because we haven't come to send a message back. We've only come for two reasons. We've come for victory or martyrdom. He reminded them of this. And then the Sahaba goes, Subhanallah, Abdullah ibn Rawaha spoke the truth. Because we've only come out for martyrdom. He goes, and they went forward. And who was in that force of the 200,000 Romans? Heraclius. The emperor had himself come. And he was absolutely shocked to the core. He goes, they've come to... Why have they come forward? And then what happened? Who was in the 3,000? Khalid bin Walid. And he managed to change the imminent defeat into a victory. So note, they were living Qurans, the Sahaba. But when they were reminded of the verses, they goes, Allahu Akbar. That's the, we're not bothered about numbers. But imagine, they, this was their mindset. Martyrdom or victory. There's no other option. Right? And then when they saw the numbers temporarily, they were thinking, oh, we send a message back. He goes, no message back. And all three of the commanders were martyred, radiallahu ta'ala. And there weren't many martyrs in that battle as well. There was only about 14 martyrs. 200,000 wrong. What were they doing? Right? And you know, subhanAllah. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا خذوا حذركم فانفروا ثبات أو انفروا جميعا وإن منكم لمن ليبطئن فإن أصابتكم مصيبة قال قد أنعم الله علي إذ لم أكن معهم شهيدا ولئن أصابكم فضل من الله ليقولن كأن لم تكن بينكم وبينه مودة يا ليتني كنت معهم فأفوز فوزا عظيما فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتل أو يغلب فسوف نؤتيه أجرا عظيما. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Qur'an the Rabi of our hearts. And we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafii khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr. Subhanallah.